It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist Malia Jacobson. We are coming right up on the first day of summer, and maybe you are feeling great and energized as we head into this new season. I hope you are. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're feeling drained, and that's completely okay. The last few months have been draining, to say the least. I am really excited to share this discussion with naturopathic physician Sierra Storm for a few reasons, and I think it will help you wherever you are, whether you're feeling great and energized or whether you could use a little energy boost as we head into this new season. I'm really excited to talk to Dr. Storm for a couple of reasons. First, she's built her expertise and her practice around helping people live their best lives, as overused as that phrase is. It does fit in this case. Dr. Storm is all about helping people have more energy, sleeping better, and just kind of meeting people where they are. And second, in this discussion, we share specifics about supplements and specific interventions that you can ask your healthcare provider about. And I do think that that's really helpful. And if you listen to podcasts, you know not all experts will share specifics about names of supplements or different procedures for a few reasons, but I think it's pretty helpful when they do. You should always ask your own healthcare provider before you start any new supplement, but sometimes it is nice to have a specific name to bring to them, or a specific nutrient, or the name of a specific brand that you're interested in, because it's a starting point for a discussion, and it can really help narrow things down in this very wide and confusing world that we can get into when we are talking about our nutrition and our health. Sometimes it is great to have a name or a brand to start with. And so we will talk about those things and name names, as they say, and I hope it will be helpful. A little bit more about Dr. Storm. Dr. Storm is Sierra Storm, a naturopathic physician based in Seattle who specializes in anti-aging and regenerative medicine treatments for a range of medical conditions from chronic pain to arthritis to sleep problems. She's a sought-after expert for sleep problems and helps her patients optimize both their sleep and their immune health so that they can rise up and thrive naturally. Let's get her on the line. Hi, Dr. Storm. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing on this rainy Seattle day?
Oh, I'm actually really enjoying this rainy day.
I do.
I think that's been the key to my success living here for 12 years is I occasionally enjoy the rain.
Yes. Well, this has been a really rainy month. I have to say our June gloom is really right on time, and it's keeping our plants green and our lawns watered, I guess. That's what I'm trying to tell myself. But man, I feel like we haven't had a fully dry day in ages.
I completely agree. I've said many times that it's been so nice how sunny it was during the onset of quarantine. That yes. made such a difference in my mental health and in my mood and in my energy. So I'm just trying to hold on to being very grateful that we had some months there that kept us going through some harder times. And if this can prevent some fires in the summer, I will take it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we do have to bank that sunshine when we can and then use it to get through the dark months. I'm trying to make the best of it myself as well. I think it may be the universe's way of telling us to rest up and stay inside and kind of bank our energy for a busy summer ahead.
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree.
So I'm so excited to have you on today to talk about sleep and immune health and how you are working with your patients right now as a naturopathic physician to kind of feel their best as we come out of the acute stage of the pandemic and move into the summer. Can you talk a little bit about the connection between sleep and immune health and how you approach that as a naturopathic physician? How does that show up in your practice and in your work with patients?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the most impactful intersection I see in my practice between sleep and immune health is regulated by what we call the HPA axis. So that's the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal system. This is basically the intersection of our brain and nervous system, and these two endocrine or hormone glands called the adrenal glands. Our adrenal glands regulate stress, and they also regulate our sleep-wake cycle, our circadian rhythm. They're responsible for so many important functions, but really that role in sleep and circadian rhythm is the one I focus on almost most in my practice. So these little glands, they are shaped like little hats. They sit on top of our kidneys and our low back. And primarily what I'll talk about today is the regulation of a hormone called cortisol. Cortisol is referred to as our stress hormone. It also has a pretty bad rap as the belly fat hormone, but it regulates our sleep-wake cycle. So cortisol should be high in the morning so that we wake alert and are refreshed from sleep, and then should sort of peak around noon and then gently slope down so that once we're ready for bed, we're in a calm state and we're ready to go to sleep. But so much of what I see in my practice is patients who have a disrupted circadian rhythm. Their cortisol is actually low in the morning. So they wake up feeling groggy and just not with it yet. Maybe after a couple of cups of coffee, they feel a little better between like 10 and 12, but then they tank between 2 and 4. They tend to crave sugar, crave salt, crave more caffeine to lift them out of that state. And then they get what I call a second wind, which is where their body actually starts to produce cortisol in higher levels before sleep, which can impede sleep. They won't fall asleep as quickly, but also those little cortisol spikes will wake them through the night. So this is really disruptive to sleep, but very also disruptive to our immune function. If our cortisol is spiking erratically through the night, it prevents us from dropping into what we call slow wave or deep sleep. And during the deep sleep is when our body increases production of several types of immune cells that protect us from infection and also help our overall immune system have a better memory for viruses or bacteria that we've come across in the past. So if we aren't getting these deeper levels of sleep because our cortisol is spiking during the night, our immune system just can't operate as well as it should. And we're much more likely to get sick. So sleep and circadian rhythm is something I'm addressing daily in practice for so many reasons, partially for, you know, immune function and for just the sleep is foundational. Our body does not work as well without sleep as it can when we are getting deep restful sleep. But particularly in my practice, so much of what I do, I'm a sports medicine doc and I operate on injury repair. So if we're not sleeping well, and we're not producing our growth hormone the way we should when we're sleeping, that impacts our immune system's ability to repair tissue. So I'm truly addressing sleep and immune health and tissue repair with almost everyone who walks into my practice. Probably at least 90% of my patients are on some kind of protocol for improving their sleep so that their body can just function as optimally as it can.
Thank you. Yes, this is so timely right now. And as I'm sure you are hearing from people, circadian rhythm struggles are a big topic right now, particularly here in the Pacific Northwest, where we this time of year have 4:30 a.m. sunrises and it's light until almost 10 p.m. And I am hearing over and over again that people are just so tired at this time of year when they would like to have more energy to start planning their summer and finally get outside again. Everyone struggles with sleep and feels tired. And then, yes, I'm glad to hear you mention the connection with slow wave sleep as well. And it's great to begin to see more and hear more about the importance of slow wave sleep. And I just did some reporting on this for Runner's World. And so what you're mentioning about the importance of slow wave sleep to tissue repair and how we can really help our bodies do what it needs to do during sleep in terms of tissue repair. Some of these things I've been reporting on sleep for over a decade and didn't really click in, I have to say, until I really delved into the topic of slow wave sleep for Runner's World.
And that is what I've mentioned on a couple of previous episodes, really motivated me to become more consistent with my sleep and wake times, and really do what I could do to, because, you know, you can't make your body do something different in terms of how the sleep stages play out during the night. Our bodies will carry those out naturally, but we have to help it along by kind of optimizing our sleep schedules and things like that, and being consistent in when we go to sleep and wake up, and managing, as you said, the cortisol and some of those other factors. So learning about that more in more depth in the past few months has made a big difference for me as a runner. And so, yes, I can see it, how timely that is right now. And I wanted to ask you, what are you hearing from your patients in terms of what they're experiencing with their sleep and their circadian rhythm over the past few months, not only for where we are in the calendar right now, coming up on max daylight, but particularly this year, 2020, coming out of the pandemic, how has that impacted the way that people are working with you and the types of questions they're asking you?
Yeah, so I'm hearing two kind of main stories as I'm checking in with patients right now. About maybe even over half are saying something along the lines of, I feel a little guilty about this, but I am having so much, like, I'm enjoying my time during this quarantine so much more than I thought I would. I'm actually having a chance to rest as some things have gotten taken off my plate. And that has been, I mean, there is a sense of guilt as they're speaking about it, because I think they see the state of the world and how this is impacting us on so many levels. But I treat a lot of entrepreneurs that are burning the candle at both ends and just have not had the time to adequately take care of themselves the way that we both would like for them. So just having some more time to garden and be outside and have more time truly hourly for sleep has made a really big impact on their mood and their energy and the way that they're able to sort of respond to what's happening in our world. And then there's about the other half, which are, you know, just often very empathic and deeply anxious and worried and concerned about what is happening right now and experiencing a ton more anxiety. Again, that regulates our cortisol too. So anxiety states and stress states will cause those stress hormones to spike, and that will impact our sleep. And so I can actually sort of predict what their sleep patterns are going to be like based on their experience of this time. The people who are grateful for the rest tend to be getting more rest. And the people who are up at night worrying about the state of the world are up at night and really having that sleep disturbance that primarily seems mediated by our stress response. So it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both.
Right. And it's just also, of course, the struggle of keeping your circadian rhythm on track, right? When your routine is so disrupted, especially coming at a time of year when it's difficult to sleep all the way to your alarm clock when the birds start chirping at 4:30 a.m. Or we might not feel tired enough to sleep. So how are you helping people, or do you kind of help people with that, strictly the circadian rhythm piece of it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We have a whole protocol in our office to support optimal sleep. And definitely it starts with addressing behavior and environment. What you've said about routine is so, so key. Your body really loves the reassurance of predictability. So I encourage my patients to have a set wake time and a set sleep time, even on the weekend, which can be an adjustment for sure. Right. And we really focus on sleep hygiene in those 3 hours before bed. So we're working on dimming the lights. I highly recommend blue blocking glasses in those pre-bed hours, particularly if there's any kind of screen time involved. People are really good about using them for phones and computers now, but I like to remind that television is also a source of that blue light. So just making sure that those glasses are on if you're going to be having screen time before bed. And then something I think that isn't addressed as often, but I find so, so important, is really looking at the excitatory factor of whatever media, TV shows, news, or even books people are consuming. Because if you're reading something scary or extra exciting or action-packed, or if you're watching that on TV, your body will be producing those stress and excitatory hormones. And I think that's something we don't really pay attention to as much, but if you're in a physiological aroused state before bed, you're telling your body that you are in daylight mode. So I really like to talk about kind of what are we consuming and what is our physiological state as we're heading into bedtime. And then just, it's so important to have a dark environment in your bedroom and also yes. like in your ambient environments. So dimming the lights, but making sure you have blackout curtains. I actually really love eye masks for this. There's a brand called Lafront, and I can give you that name if you'd like, but it's a convex eye mask, so it doesn't bother your eyes and you can still blink, but it really does such a good job at creating a dark space so that you're not, you know, absorbing ambient light when you should be going to bed. So first we really focus on behavior and habitual change, making sure our environment matches and supports our physiology. And then also I am addressing circadian rhythm. So how much cortisol is being produced by those adrenal glands, both in the morning and at night. So we have to kind of correct that circadian curve so that your hormones are supporting your daily activity levels and optimal sleep.
Okay, thank you. And I do want to talk with you about those corrections and interventions that you're using to help people with those issues. First, I wanted to touch on the topic of chronic fatigue. That was the focus of my last episode that actually just came out today. And it seems that that's something that a lot of people are experiencing. And we do know that post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome is something that is becoming a concern in the wake of COVID-19, and that most of the cases of chronic fatigue syndrome that people live with are triggered by some type of infection, either viral or bacterial. I'm curious about how you work with patients in your practice who may approach you either with a diagnosis of post-viral chronic fatigue, or they're just struggling to regain their energy after experiencing a virus. Maybe they don't have a diagnosis of post-viral chronic fatigue, but they're still struggling with their energy. How do you help people? Maybe they don't have a sleep problem that they can specifically point to, but their energy isn't where it should be. Or they're kind of struggling with that that phase of ramping back up and getting back to their normal life after a bout with a virus.
Yeah, absolutely. Such a great question. So viral illnesses, and particularly COVID, are deeply depleting. So we use a ton of nutrients to mobilize our immune system, and we burn through those nutrients at a much higher rate when we're fighting off an active infection. And so what I'm seeing in my practice is a lot of this exhaustion that comes in the aftermath of infection is because we have such depleted resources in our body of these nutrients. We don't have that many nutrients that we rely on, so we use them each redundantly. So vitamin D is really important for our bones being strong and healthy, but also our energy levels being high, but also our immune system working well. So if we have depleted a bunch of that nutrient because we've been fighting an infection, we don't have it in the ways we need it to increase our energy or improve our mood or support our bones in the same way. So because it's redundant, once we've burned through so much of that, we experience that lack on many fronts. So there's a lot that I'm doing for post-infection viral fatigue that involves nutrient repletion. Well, I can touch on this also in other questions if needed, but we can do testing to see, are these nutrients depleted? Which ones did your body kind of burn through more, and where do we need to support you in increasing those levels so that your body can return to healing optimally and functioning optimally? The second thing I would say is there's a particular formula called rhodiola. It's an herb. It's an adrenal adaptogen. So it works on those adrenal glands, but it also has antiviral properties. And it's one of those adrenal response herbs that really helps boost energy. So that is a formula that I've had really good success with. lately in helping people sort of recover their stamina after infection. And I'll just input here that always talk to your doctor before you implement anything and make sure that they're on board with your care, but something to research and consider in post-viral fatigue.
Yes, thank you. And can you repeat that name?
Rhodiola, R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A.
Yeah, it's of course, it's important for people to talk to their own provider before starting something like this, but I do think it's so helpful to have those names so that people can at least have something to start talking about or to ask their physician about or to begin researching and somewhere to start. We all need somewhere to start.
Agree.
What about B vitamins and B vitamin shots? I think a lot of people think about that when they think about energy and they think, oh, I must need more B vitamins. B vitamin shots are something I have never personally done, but I've always been curious. Do those play a role in getting someone's energy going again when they're feeling depleted?
Absolutely. The full spectrum of B vitamins are really helpful, but B12 and B5 particularly are very, very helpful for regaining energy. And particularly if someone's in a very depleted state, I prefer to use injectable nutrients. I'll actually put patients on protocols for injections about once a week for 4 to 6 weeks in the aftermath. So basically, if you have any kind of gut compromise or there's any reason that you're not absorbing nutrients as well as you should, injectable nutrients sort of bypass that whole digestive system and just allow them to be absorbed from the muscle into the bloodstream for immediate use. So what I'll see often is that within 2 to 4 hours, they'll start to feel that impact on their energy and their mood. And it also, B vitamins are awesome for helping with sleep, B12 particularly. So it's a really, really great thing to add in.
Right. And I think with the increased interest that we're seeing in plant-based diets, B vitamins are particularly important. When you do eat especially a vegan diet, can you talk about that a little bit? I think people sometimes think, I'm eating more vegetables, I'm eating a plant-based diet, so I maybe need less nutritional support because I'm eating so clean. How are you helping people if they're transitioning to a plant-based diet? I'm just curious about that.
Absolutely. So I think when done well, a plant-based diet can be such a nutrient-dense diet. That's really, really fantastic. I see that both B12 and iron are often still lacking in a plant-based diet. So
those
are two nutrients I would just have people take. I would still prefer doing B12 injections just for better absorbability, but iron and B12 are still, we just need a little more support in those two areas when we're following a plant-based diet. So those are the ones I most often recommend. They're both particularly important for energy. So people often feel a lot better fairly quickly when they start incorporating that in supplement form.
Right. And one thing I've noticed is that iron can be particularly hard to find in supplement form. I think a lot of people might be surprised to know that their multivitamin might not contain much iron at all. Some multivitamins just don't contain it. So if you are looking for iron in supplement form, or you've been told that you need more iron, sometimes it is helpful to really get up close and personal with those labels, because it's a little bit surprising to learn that many supplements don't have a lot of iron. I have to look really hard sometimes when I'm looking for iron.
I totally agree. So iron in too much can actually be inflammatory. So they are fairly careful with where they put it in formulas. I like to recommend that people take their iron supplements separately anyway, so it doesn't compete for absorption. And I really love liquid formulas. So again, something to talk to your healthcare provider and research, but the one I would recommend is called Floradix, and it's a liquid. And I believe it has B12 in it too, so it might be a good one-stop shop for people who are more plant-based.
Right, yes. And that's one that I've taken in the past too. I've had good experiences with that. So just getting back to the interventions that you're using to help people with sleep problems, with circadian rhythm problems, and with managing their cortisol levels throughout the day. And of course, it's probably going to vary a great deal patient to patient. But if someone comes in and you've determined that their cortisol levels are out of whack, where do you usually start with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes we will actually run saliva tests and we'll take 4 samples throughout the day to see where people's cortisol curve is sort of falling. We can actually plot that on a graph and it helps us identify what level of support they need. At this point in practice, it's getting easier and easier to kind of predict what that curve is going to look like. So we can either map it or based on their symptoms, really talk about where they're going to need support in that spectrum. But if they're feeling really, really exhausted in the morning, they have difficulty focusing, their concentration and memory is being impacted, and then they're having that sort of mid-afternoon crash, that's telling me we have to help improve and increase cortisol levels at the beginning of the day. So we use specific herbs and nutrients to help bolster that production of cortisol. If they're coming and they're saying, I'm super anxious, I'm super wired, I can't get calm before bed, I wake and I have a lot of ruminating thoughts, like in the middle of sleep between 2 and 4 a.m., that's a signal to me that we need to calm the system. We need to bring that cortisol level down at that second half and really help them come into a more restful state. For some people, they need both. They're exhausted in the morning and they're wired at night. And so we have to correct sort of both sides of that teeter-totter to get them stabilized and in a really good spot. But I truly, supplements are part of this, and all of those behavior and routine changes are sort of the foundation that allows your body to know where it is in time. So waking at the same time, going to sleep at the same time, controlling those light levels in a way that your body can sort of place itself chronologically.
Right. Got it. And with spending so much time indoors for many people over the past couple of months, the body does get a little confused, I think, about what time it is at any particular time during the day. So I guess it's not very surprising that there would be sleep and rhythm problems that would result from that.
Yes. And like you addressed, our very, very long daylight up here is also such a factor.
Yes, it is. And it happens every year. It's kind of like the holidays. It feels like it sneaks up on you, but it's the same time every year. It's not a surprise. It's like Christmas should never sneak up on anyone, right? It's the same time every year, but yet somehow it always does. So yes, experience it year in and year out. And there's certainly things that we can do to help make it easier on ourselves.
Yeah.
I wanted to also talk to you about immune health. I'm sure you're getting a lot of questions from your patients. How are you helping people with keeping their immune system strong, particularly now as we're looking at ending the stay-at-home orders, opening up travel a little bit more broadly, and people are thinking about continuing to stay healthy this summer?
Yeah, so mostly I'm getting fairly broad spectrum questions about how to support overall immunity. And from a naturopathic medical standpoint, that starts with what we call the foundations of health. So the check boxes your body needs to optimally function. And that's optimizing sleep, optimizing nutrition, making sure you're eating really nutrient-dense foods, increasing moderate activity levels, so bringing up moderate exercise, if that's kind of dormant in your life in quarantine, because that's happened for some of us. In most cases, this also includes increasing hydration. So the mucous membranes in your lungs and in your gut are part of your immune system. They're sort of that like first barrier for any bugs that are trying to get in. And they so deeply rely on being well hydrated to work optimally. So, you know, those things that we've been told for all sorts of reasons really impact our health, our diet, our movement, our hydration, our sleep are really, they're pieces to dial in right now so that you approach the reopening of our world in a really strong place. And then, as we've talked about before in this interview, just making sure that your nutrient levels are supporting your immune health. So it's, I particularly feel like this is the time to have preventative nutrients on board. I really like vitamin D, vitamin C, vitamin A, zinc, B vitamins. Those are some of the ones I'm relying on personally and recommending to patients. And like I've said, I prefer often to use injectable nutrients at least for a couple of weeks to give you a strong baseline. And then you can move on to taking oral supplements as needed and recommended.
Okay, thank you. And you talked about incorporating movement into your day. And I'm just curious about how you counsel people to time their exercise in order to keep their circadian rhythm on track and maybe manage cortisol levels appropriately. With people working at home, they may have more flexibility about when they can get their movement in. They may be able to schedule a midday workout or even an afternoon workout when maybe that wasn't a possibility before. Is that something that you talk to people about? When is the best time to exercise if they're struggling with, or if they're trying to get their cortisol back on schedule? And specifically, I hear from a lot of sleep experts that the best time to exercise in terms of optimizing sleep is that window between 4 and 7 p.m., which is tough to carry out for a lot of people. I've heard different things about the value of getting your movement in early in the morning. Is that something that you talk to people about, and what guidance are you providing there?
Yeah, it's absolutely something that I talk to people about. And I tend to counsel that it's best to match your activity with your cortisol levels. So I recommend it in the morning, and honestly, not after about 2 p.m. so that you are energizing in the time when you should be energized and restful in the time when you should be sleeping. So I find for a lot of my patients, at least, that they get extra energized by their activity, and that can prevent them from slipping into deep and restful sleep. So I'm generally counseling people anywhere between, you know, when your waking time is. For some people, they wake up early. That's totally fine. But I tell people optimal times are between about 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. if they can get it in.
Okay. Yeah. And a great way to take advantage of the wonderful early morning light that we have here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a great time of year for that. What are some of the things that that people can be keeping in mind with regard to immune health if they are beginning to travel or considering, you know, rescheduling some postponed trips, some ways that people can stay healthy as they continue to expand their circle and their movement and travel patterns this summer?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely minding your sleep. If that is something that you are having difficulty with right now, the more you can optimize and regulate that before you start going out into the world, the better. So the time is now if you need to correct your sleep cycle. And if you are one of the people who have benefited from the extra time and are getting good sleep, do your best to hold on to those habits that have created sort of a sanctuary around your sleep in quarantine, and try to maintain that habit as you're sort of re-entering the world and coming back online. Stress levels are so important for immune function, and we are in a very stressful time right now. So I'm counseling people, it's very important to be informed right now, but also important to take care of your mental health and stress levels. So kind of limiting your news, making sure you're tuning in so that you're comfortable and know what's going on, but not getting to the point where we're cycling through anxiety because we're always tuned in. And then truly really making sure your nutrient levels are supportive of optimal immune health right now as you enter the world is such an important thing. On top of the things we already know, washing our hands, using masks when appropriate, you know, all of our hygiene practices as well. But those are the ones that come to mind.
Thank you. Yeah, it's always a good time to be reminded of that. And I think a lot of people are thinking about what's next. And I think it's a great time to really take some time to think about if you have gotten more sleep during this period, what are some things that you can do or changes that you can make to keep that going? Moving forward, how are you going to create space for that in your life as things open back up? And that may mean making some changes, making some different choices, or taking some things off your plate in a more permanent way. But it's been a unique opportunity, I think, to have that time to reflect on how we can create more space to take care of ourselves in our lives. So yes. Good time for that right now.
Yeah, I agree.
So we wanted to talk about supplements. You've mentioned a few, and I'm really interested in hearing a little more about your favorite supplements for sleep and immune health. And of course, as you mentioned, it's important for people to speak with their own healthcare provider, particularly because I think supplements are expensive and you don't want to waste them. You want to be working with someone who can help you take them at the right time, take the ones that you need, not waste your money on ones that you don't. And there can be a big difference in their effectiveness when they're used properly and timed appropriately. Don't waste your money, don't waste your time. Work with someone who can help you get the most out of these things. But what are your favorites?
Yeah, absolutely. And such good reminders too. I really love that. So it probably won't be a surprise that I first start with the adrenal glands when we're working on sleep. So supplements that are sedatives, such as melatonin, sort of shut off our lights, but don't necessarily correct the underlying reason that we're having an issue sleeping. So if the reason is that our cortisol is being overproduced in those evening and nighttime hours, I like to bring those levels down. And my favorite nutrient supplement for this is called Cortisol Manager. It's a really calming supplement that will just bring those cortisol levels down at nighttime when they're not supposed to be elevated and spiking. So that's right. Where I start. And I almost use that exclusively. I would say that 85% of the time, that will pretty much fix the problem.
I have to say, I take that personally. And yeah. if I could only take one supplement, that would be it. I would throw everything else in the trash. It's so effective. It's amazing. And it works so quickly and just does what it needs to do. And it's a great one.
Yeah, that's almost all I use. If that isn't working, I will reach for other tools. I will sometimes use melatonin, although I find that people are fairly reactive to it. It will cause a lot of grogginess or it just won't be effective. So it's a less reliable support, in my opinion. I also use B6. Sometimes I use L-theanine, which is a proponent of green tea. It's just a calming agent. And then GABA, which is one of our calming neurotransmitters that just helps our brain relax and be calm before bed. But I have to say that I end up using those so infrequently because primarily what I'm seeing is this is cortisol dysregulation. So I start with Cortisol Manager, and then if that hasn't corrected the problem, we do some more detective work and some more digging and find what else can be supportive.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And when it comes to staying healthy, I think a lot of people have a lot going on. They're trying to prioritize their health, juggle their family's health, their caretaking responsibilities, and so people are kind of overwhelmed. What is something simple that people can do to improve their health without adding stress right now?
I love the way you asked that question. I think that's such an important distinction. It can become a laundry list of things we have to do to take care of ourselves. And the overwhelm of that stress can actually add to the problem,
right,
instead of supporting us. So, and I'm all about tiny habits that move the dial in the right direction. So. Yes. A couple things that I would recommend. There is a technique of breathing called the Wim Hof breathing, which is a very short breathing exercise you can do in the morning or when you're feeling overwhelmed. That's correlated with improved immune response, decreased pain and inflammation, and decreased anxiety and stress. So it's a really easy, quick way when you're feeling overwhelmed or overstressed to just bring your physiology back to baseline. I can give you resources.
Sure. Yeah. What can you spell that?
Yeah. So Wim Hof is the gentleman who created this breathing technique. First name W-I-M, last name H-O-F. And he has an app that I would highly recommend. And if it's searched in the app store, you'll find it. For right now, I think during COVID, he's allowing those breathing exercises to be free. So it's a great time to jump in and see how that, you know, impacts you and your stress levels. So
great,
that's
thank
one.
You.
Yeah. And then a sort of tried and true method that works for me personally and that works for so many of my patients is a walk outside, getting out in nature. It's longer than a 10 minute generally, but I really think that exposure to nature has shown such incredible results in reducing our stress and supporting immune health. It's such a good way to return to baseline, to get a little restoration and to come back to ourselves when we're stressed out.
Oh, right. I completely agree. And I personally myself enjoy long walks, long runs outside, but when I am with my kids, I have had to take the approach of making it much shorter and much more approachable for them, because I think as parents know, your kids will complain mightily about being dragged outside sometimes. And so just a walk around the block, a walk to a local neighborhood landmark, and keeping it really short has been able to, I've been able to get them outside regularly. And then we've built from there, where when I'm by myself, I'll go on much longer walks, but with the kids, yep.
Love
short
it.
And sweet can sometimes, it's better than nothing, getting them outside for just 10 or 15 minutes. And then we tend to stay out. But if I can tell them, okay, guys, we're just going to go around the block, it tends to spark fewer complaints, I found.
And I would say that works for adults too, right? I mean, it's just any exercise habit. I just have to put on my shoes.
Right, exactly.
I have to put on the shoes and go out the door. Yes.
Right, get out the door. And if I don't feel like doing more than 5 minutes, I don't have to. But yeah, it's getting over that initial barrier can be the best thing that we can do for ourselves right now.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so helpful. I think that this will be really interesting and helpful to a lot of people. Where can people learn more about you?
So you can learn more about me on my website. That's a great place to learn more about my practice and the services that I offer, but probably the best spot to learn more about me and what I'm doing as far as my daily habits to support sleep and energy and immune function is on Instagram. I post a lot of information over there about those habits that support health and tissue regeneration and injury repair and optimizing sleep, all those things. And I can either give you my handle or send it to you.
Sure, yeah. What is it?
It's at Dr. Sierra Storm, at Dr. Sierra Storm.
All right. I just wrote that down. That was that pause. So I will include that in the show notes, and then hopefully people can seek you out as well. Well, thank you so much again. And I really appreciate you taking time to share with us today.
Leah, thank you so much for having me. This was delightful. This was so fun to talk about sleep and immune system and health. Thanks for having
me. Yes. Yes, I love it. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope that this discussion is helpful and that it gets your summer off to a great start. The cortisol manager supplement that we mentioned is from Integrative Therapeutics. I don't think we said that in our discussion. The brand is Integrative Therapeutics. Please follow the podcast on social media at Sleep Well, Stay Well, or on Twitter at SWSW Podcast. You can find show notes at sleepwellstaywell.com, and you can reach out to me at malia@sleepwellstaywell.com. Also, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast if the information has been helpful to you. And you can find Dr. Storm on Instagram at Dr. Sierra Storm, and she does post quite a bit of helpful and beautiful content. I really recommend checking out her feed. I hope that you have a wonderful week coming up. Next Thursday, we will be going back into the world of parenting and talking about teenagers. I have one at home, and the past few months have been a crazy ride. So we will talk about teens and anxiety and helping them sleep well so that they can be their best selves in the summer and as we head into the new school year. Can't wait. Until then, please sleep well and stay well. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.